glad to see all of you here this evening. If you'd open your Bibles with me to James chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, we'll get started. Now, tonight is a continuation of the series that we've been discussing for quite a while now. We've been talking about spirituality and what it means, the different, maybe perhaps the different components of what a spiritual life should be. And tonight we're going to talk about choosing to transform conflict into unity. Do you think this could be a good thing in anybody's life? You guys, anybody get any sleep this afternoon? Everybody just, Engel said no. Okay. Resolving conflict is hugely important. James chapter 3, verses 17 through 18 says, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering and without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." So if we'd had a little scripture reader tonight, that's what I'd have had him read out of the book of James. Now, with that in mind, I want to tell you just a small short story that I hope will get us jump-started on our lesson. When I was in high school, I took VOTEC classes, and I learned how to do body work, how to paint cars and that sort of thing. And part of this course was learning about paint. Now, back in them var days, if you was a real painter, you painted cars with lacquer. When you got done, you wet sanded it with 600 grit, and then you polished it out so that it would blind people when you drove by. The very good thing about lacquer is lacquer dries really fast. An hour later, you can be wet sanding and buffing it. It's really great. It dries really super fast. Well, here a while back, Sarah Seabee, she got a bump in her car, required a new rear bumper. And Archie, well, that's a long time ago, that's a while back. Archie said, "We'll take care of that." Then he said, "Dan, I'm going to need you to paint that." I said, "Okay." Painted a long time, but okay. So he brought by the paint, and I looked at the paint, and I'm like, "What's this? I don't understand this. This says to put this substance in it, and this ain't that substance." So I go down to the store where he bought it, and I says, what's going on here?" "Oh, baby, jibberty, 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 none of it made sense." Now, I have a technical background in that subject, and they were just, beep, 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 it didn't make no sense. So I went to the DuPont paint website, and I read the instructions. Then I went back to the store, and I said, "Okay, here's what I need." And they gave it to me. Now, I'm getting all this to say this. They don't make lacquer anymore. They make polyurethane paint. You got to put activator in it. You got to put hardener in it. You got to do all this crazy stuff. Not just thinner and go. You got to do all, and then you got to read all this business. Sarah's going, "Where's he going with this?" I'm going to tell you. If you mix that paint up, and you paint on the car, and you forget to put the activator in it, it'll never dry. That's not a good thing. It's not a good thing at all. Well, I was really, really upset about this whole thing, trying to figure this out. Now, where was I going with this story? I really got into my story. You note that? I think I got my point across. Church, in many ways, yeah, I did. Peace is the activator that brings on the beautiful finish of God. There, I did it, didn't I? More times than not, conflict stirs the fire of destruction and results in a gruesome finish. But God wants us to understand that peace can flow from conflict. Okay? With that in mind, hold on. You're ready to go, aren't you? You're ready to push that button. Here's what I've done to come up with a sermon. You remember Dr. Gary Walker presented some conflict resolution business? All of those notes, plus Dr. Truman's notes, plus my own study, that's where I come up with this lesson. So it's going to be a little bit unique. And we're going to start, and I'm going to talk about how to identify something. I'm Dan Pierce. What's your name? Are you sure? I don't know you from Adam.
I think so.
Prove to me you're Colton Pierce. This is not even rehearsed. Oh, driver's license from Iowa says Colton Pierce. Thank you. Sit down. He identified himself by whipping out a driver's license. How can we identify conflict? Glad you ask. Let me show you the driver's license of conflict, okay? I titled it The Roots of Conflict. I should have really changed that and put Identifying Conflict. Here are some things that always end up in problem conflicts, okay? At the top of the pyramid, that's a little root anyway at the top to match my little definition, but communications, bad communication is at the top of the list in conflict. The church here did something really good that you don't know about yet, but I'm going to tell you right now. We got some little, you know these little tests that we have out in the foyer? Their spiritual inventory test, you know. We bought some communication test pamphlets. And man, they're good. We only bought about 25 of them. My thought is I'm reserving them for married couples because they're really good. So if you're a married couple and you want to do some preventive maintenance on conflict, come see me. I'll hook you up with a $4 test, so only taking serious people, okay? And we'll work on that. Or if you're to be married soon, come see me. We can work on that. The top of the heap for identifying conflict is bad, poor communication. You know what? Communication is not a difficult thing, is it? Oh, is it ever? I'm going to tell a story here that I just forgot until now, but it's perfect. Taylor's smiling, aren't you? My boys in technology never ends. They get on the computer and they show me all these funny websites, and I mean, it's just like they're addicted to it. So they come up with this new one, and they said, "Oh, you got to see this, Dad. You got to see this." I said, "What is it?" They said, "Oh, just listen. It's funny 911 calls." Go figure. I mean, that doesn't even seem to... See, they all laugh. We all go funny, and 911, that doesn't work. So they played it for me. And it was some backwoods person, probably from Arkansas. Sorry, Glenn. I've been saving that for you, brother. Calls in to the call center, and he says, "Hey, I think my buddy's dead." And the 911 operator says, "Calm down now, calm down. The first thing we got to do is make sure that he's dead." And the guy says, "Well, wait just a minute." And you hear, "Pow, pow." And then he gets back on and he says, "What now?" What, you think he's from Missouri, Rob? No. Bad communication, are you with me? Poor communication breaks things down. Oftentimes, I found myself not communicating right. I'll say one thing, or I'll say it in a certain way. I'll say to my wife, "Get me that over there," instead of ask her, if you listen to it, it sounds like an order. You see what I'm saying? There's a lot of that going on, so communication is up. Competition. We are a very competitive people as humans. We're just that away. You pull up to the stop sign. There's several lanes. rev your motor just a little bit, you know.
We're that type of people. We like to get revved up. Competition not always a bad thing. But when you think about how it plays into conflict, winning, if it becomes more important than unity, it breaks down godliness. Issues. Oh, we're a people of issues. We've got all these political parties and we've all got our stance and our issue and our position. And you know, in godliness, a lot of the issues fade away. You work your way through some mega marriage problems and you learn that a lot of things that you thought were important weren't really important. You learn to focus in on ideas and concerns that ought to be present and ought to rise to the top and put everything else kind of to the backside. Getting overly concerned about issues. Personalities. Man, alive. You reckon personalities get in the way of unity? Man, I want to tell you what, church. I'm just a person like you. There's certain people that tweak my gizzard. You understand that? I ate some chicken gizzards the other day for the first time in a long time. Anybody like chicken gizzards? Wow. Hey, we might have to have a party. There are some people that's just hard to get along with. They're hard to deal with. Maybe you're married to one. Maybe one's your child, your uncle, your aunt, your friend, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, whatever the case might be. Personalities get in the way. Emotions. Uh-oh. Now we're going to do the Oprah thing and Dr. Phil. Nobody watches those shows? Boy, do emotions play a pivotal part in disunity or in conflict. When you let something eat at you to the point that you don't think straight anymore. In the past, certain things, not a lot of things, but certain things just make me really angry. Homosexuality, back here in the past, has just made me really angry. But you know what I figured out about anger? Anger is a surface explanation. Anger is really not the issue. There's at least three things that cause anger: hurt, fear, or frustration. And when I identify which one it is, then I can deal with the root cause of what's going on. You know, I've learned not to get so angry about homosexuality. I'm angry about the sinfulness of it, but I'm more compassionate. People. Emotions. Oh, they get in the way. When you're angry, you don't think straight. When I get angry, something engages in my mind that just turns on stupid. How's that? Are you supposed to say stupid? I don't remember all the little kid words we're not supposed to say. Sorry if I did. Selfish desires. Anybody in here not like to get their way? Oh, Sarah, put your hand down. That's not true. Perception. Uh-oh. Now we hit a gold mine. The way I understand something, the way you understand something, the way I understand something, different things. What helps build that understanding? Well, different things. Yeah, I want to talk about some of that a little bit later. But the way that you perceive and understand things oftentimes can be things that happened to you as a child in the past. If your dad was hateful to you and mean with you, you may grow up and you may expect all men to be that way with you. And when you're communicating, you see what I'm saying? A lot of things can influence perception, okay, the way you understand things. Self-esteem is probably more of a byproduct of this whole thing. You know, there's a lot of people, a lot of Christians that don't feel too hot about themselves. And that's really a sad thing. Because you're made by the King. You're the hottest items on the planet. And you ought to rejoice about it. But you know what? Not in arrogance or boastfulness. But there's a lot of Christians who feel down in the dumps. When you're feeling down in the dumps, you can't communicate. You can't resolve conflict because you see the world looking in on you and you don't have a healthy balance of perspective. Hidden expectations. One of my personal problems. I have expectations written out, sort of. You know, when it comes to church, I expect us to start on time. I'm anal about it. When we don't, I'm nervous. Vicki, you agree? You have the same difficulty? Thank you for bailing me out. I'm sweating. When it comes to church, I have personal expectations that we protect the sanctity of worship and everybody turn off their cell phones. I have my cell phone. It's to silence. Don't usually ever bring it. Thought Charity would be traveling this evening. Now I'm explaining myself right. Sometimes my expectations are not God's expectations. Here's my big problem with expectations. I expect it, but I expect you to know it without me saying it. That's stupid. Are you with me, church? How can you live up to anything? Or why? What gives me the right to set your expectation? God can tell you His expectation. That's my job as a preacher. Here's what God expects. This is what He says. Right? So if you show up late to church, don't worry about offending me. I need to adjust my expectation, right? I hope we can all be on time. This is a good plug-in time for that, isn't it? Unresolved issues from the past. Huge, huge, huge. We live our lives in such a way sometimes that we don't get things resolved. And sometimes we can't get things resolved. But sometimes, more often than not, the past dictates what we become in the future. Here's a clue for you, church. You as the church have no past. Christ took it away. You got now and don't you blame any of the conflict on your life about the junk in your past. The conflict that's in your life is because of your choice to live in it. Amen? Can we all pony up? Okay. Now, that was my introduction. I only got 4 pages. Going to move this through this kind of quick. Jay was so gracious this morning, I think, to chop out one of the songs. It's hard for me to know how long it takes to get through a sermon, so he did a little adjustment. Thank you for that. So, the identity of Christians, the identity, if Mr. Unity came in, and I said, Mr. Unity, I'm Dan Pierce. You're Mr. Unity? Show me some identification. You know what he'd whip out? He'd whip out a peace card. Okay? That's just saying it the way it is. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." Blessed are the peacemakers. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, Paul's telling the Ephesians, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling, with which you have been called, with all humility, gentleness, patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." You want to know how to get rid of conflict out of your life? The Apostle Paul just told you how to do it. Through love, tolerance, patience, and unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, the Lord's people ought to be people and not a warring bunch of people. Interesting, our kids went to a youth rally today. Interestingly enough, the church where they showed up to for a youth rally is in the middle of splitting apart. Nice timing to have a youth rally. Colton brought his girlfriend for the first time to a youth rally, and she shows up in the middle of that. Great job, church. You're going to win a lot of people to the Lord. what I'm telling you is this, church, we have an influence on the people that come here. If we show them God and the love of God, they say, well, I want to know more about God. If they walk in the doors and we're bickering and arguing about what time it is and whether we're starting on time and whether we're going to do this or this or this, or you did this and ought to do this, if they come in, they see that, they don't see the heart of God. Christians are not won through conflict. They're won through peace. We are reminded that peace is the bonding agent. You take the paint, you don't put the activator in the paint never dries. Peace is the bonding agent of God that produces a beautiful finish. James chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, I already read that. Goes right along with this. Let's consider, we have a short amount of time, seven roads to peace. Okay? Seven roads to peace. First of all, we have to develop an environment which encourages conflict resolution by always keeping God's mindset first. In other words, how does God view the conflict? See, when I get in a conflict, I start thinking about who's going to win, where I can get the reference material so that I can win, you know, all that business. We need to spend a little bit more time thinking about how God sees it, how God understands it, how the conflict fits into the long-term plan of God, or does it? We need to understand human nature and examine our own tendencies. I tend toward certain things. That's why Linda Jordan saw this sign and bought me a little sign and brought it back from where? Ohio? Yeah, Cleveland, Cincinnati. It says something about hell hath no fury like a dad who's missing tools. She brought that to me because I have tendencies, you see. If I understand my own tendencies, I also understand my faulty direction sometimes in a conflict situation. Think how Jesus would respond. What would Jesus do? WWJD, is that right? Never forget the power of affirmation and building people up. What's the name of that? There's a book I got on CDs called How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. You go listen to those tape sets and you can figure out, you can make the world spin literally if you understand how to build people up and overlook problems when possible. And also by expecting the best of others and yourself. First road. Second road, develop good communication skills. Okay? And by that, let's talk about a few of these. Learn to verbalize your feelings. All you men, raise your hand so I can see where you're at. We don't do this well. How you doing today? Okay. Your little honey asks you, what do you think?
I don't know.
It's a guy thing, isn't it? See, all you women out there go, I see a lot of faces going, Us guys, we don't watch Dr. Phil or Oprah because we don't care. Right? Okay. We need to verbalize our feelings. Now, here's what I'm talking about. When something's going on in my life, and there's something always going on in my life, and there's something always going on in your life, identify how you feel. That hurts. No, I want to stick with angry because it's easy. I don't want to say, why am I angry? I don't want to get down and say, well, I'm hurt. I'm scared. I'm frustrated. I don't want to get down that way. Let me tell you what, this works. Because it's worked for me, and if it works for me, it'll work for anybody. When I learn to get down and say, why am I feeling this way? What's the feeling? I learn to quit doing some things that I ought not to be doing. And if I can do it, anybody can do it. Learn to verbalize your... Make your wants and desires clearly known. Don't expect everybody to be fortune tellers. Don't expect everybody to read your mind or to know what you want and what you expect. Tell them. And then if they don't agree, they'll say no, and then your expectations aren't blown out of circuit. You see what I'm saying? It's really a good, healthy thing. These things seem to go without saying. I'm just figuring them out. 42 years old. Listen to others with genuine care for their world. Now, listen to others with genuine care. Oh, we know that, Dan. For their world. Uh-oh. Put your shoes on. Try to understand. That takes time. Yeah, and that promotes unity. Think about the person that you're talking to. What it is that's going on in their life. What's making their world spin. What's their problem. Try to imagine looking through their eyes. It's a whole different thing. Don't let your mood hinder communications. These hurt so bad because this is a really... I come up with a lot of this stuff by identifying my own problems. Okay, you with me? I come in sometimes and from work or something, I'm just tired. My brain's feeling like it weighs 85 pounds and I just want to go shut down. I'm exhausted. One of y'all's got grumpy with me. That doesn't really happen that often. Let's just say that it did. I go home and kick the cat and, you know, you ever do that? Don't let your mood hinder communications. I'm a guy. When I get moody, I shut down. I go to my man cave. Anybody got any man caves in here? Yeah. I go hide. And you know what my wife, you know how she understands that? And turns out in woman communication, that means I don't care, I'm rejecting you. Me, I'm thinking, hey, great, vacation. I'm going to my man cave. I'm escaping reality. And my wife's sitting over there saying, he don't love me. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. We have different communication systems, need to recognize that sort of thing. Beware of body language. Body language. I love you. I love you. Doesn't work, does it? Let the other... Oh, now listen to me. Don't go home without this in your pocket. Let the other person know that you value them. Oftentimes, conflict gets to be about winning or some other deep issue. And conflict starts to raise up when people don't feel respect between them. They don't feel like they have value. You know, peaceful communicators that promote unity always do one thing. They always let the other person know they value them. Ward Bickford's not here tonight, so he won't be upset me telling you this. Great at unity. I'll tell you why. We go to, sometimes in the past the elders have met with a person in the church who's struggling in some way. And you know what my tendency as a young whippersnapper full of stupidity is? Here's the problem. What needs to be done to fix it? You know what Ward says? Ward has started out a conversation like this. What do you think about so-and-so? The person on the other side doesn't feel any abrasiveness at all, answers the question. Well, how do you see that? Ward asks questions. He doesn't dump this load of junk out on the table. See, that's what a mature spiritual person will do. Let the other person know that he values them. Ward's really good at that. Okay, I got to move on. Develop a healthy style of working with conflict. Avoid dominance. Where one person has all the answers and it's his way or the highway. You know, I'd always tell Charity in the past, we need to get on the same page. And she'd always say, what you mean is we need to get on your page. And she was right. That's exactly what I meant. Avoid dominance. Over the long term, that builds up mighty high walls around a person. Avoidance is another area we need to stick clear of. Repression of problems. I'm going to just avoid the issue. You ever played with a balloon? Take your finger. Push in on a balloon on one side. And it gives, doesn't it? But it pushes out on the other side. You're just changing the location of the air, aren't you? Repression, when we repress things in our lives instead of dealing with them, you know what you do? You might repress it for now, but it'll pop up later. It's just like one of those little indicators on the turkey when you're cooking a turkey when it's done. Bing! It's the same deal. One of the most healthiest ways that I've found to deal with conflict is in the book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey, where he talks about this, a negotiated compromise on what benefits everyone collectively. It's not, I've got to get my way, or you've got to get your way, but what works for us? What does the God say? What's the truth? Avoid the oh, goodness. I'm about out of time. Oh, I'm about out of notes. Too good. Where was I at? I was on a really good point. Okay, I'm going to give you a huge key here. Avoid the temptation to make conflict personal. That's what it is. We're going to get down in the mud pit and wrestle together. That's personal, isn't it? Conflict is not meant to be... Church, oh, I'm going to jump to the conclusion of this, but I can't help it. Is it okay? Conflict is an opportunity. Now my sermon's over. Hold on to that thought. Also, develop the ability to say what needs to be said in a godly way, with courage and with love, letting truth lead the way. Genuine care is a component that has to be there during that process, with the reminder that covenant with God puts us in covenant with each other. We, the church, have an obligation to work out our conflict. Church, you should know God expects it. God demands it. Then we should promote the growth of Christian virtues in ourselves and those around us. Reaching for serenity or peace in the stresses of life. Never forgetting to search for hope in anxiety. Always being generous in the face of demands. Having, maintaining openness in relationships. Always being sensitive to the needs of people around you. Unselfishly putting other people's interests ahead of your own, Paul says in the book of Philippians. Humbling ourselves. Embracing self-discipline. Setting some boundaries for ourselves. See, that's one thing. Living in America, we're told, go anywhere, do anything, be the best you can be. God says, you know what? I got some boundaries in my kingdom, and you need to stay inside these boundaries, okay? That's what's going to make you healthy. That's what's going to promote my will. We need to be a people of self-discipline. We also need to have a clear understanding of what the goal of the resolution is going to be. If you're working out a problem with somebody, you need to know where it is you're headed. Dale Carnegie puts it this way, and it's really good. It's been one of my favorite expressions since I read this little book. I forgot the name of the book. A problem well stated is a problem half solved. That comes from somebody with a lot more thinking power than me. Figure out what it is you're trying to accomplish in the conflict and work toward resolution. You know what we do, though? We start working out something. We get off on these little tangents. We're talking about whether we're going to eat at McDonald's and Burger King, and by the end, I'm upset because we got Michelin tires instead of Uniroyals on the car. Are you with me? We didn't stay focused. That's kind of the way we are. This can only be figured out by establishing teamwork with the other party. During conflict, we need to understand that we're part of a team and we're on the same team. The first thing that hinders most solutions, I already said that a while ago. This is a big one. We're 3 minutes and I'm just almost done. I'm pinching the end here. But I've got to say this. We got to be a people that avoid making assumptions. I've been there in the past, haven't you? Assume the wrong thing. And before too long, I'm out in the quicksand up to here, you know, because I've assumed the wrong thing. My wife always said this, and she's really right. You should expect that I've tried to do the best and consider anything else if I tell you different. She's right. We should really try to assume the best in each other. Our assumptions can get us in trouble. They have a lot of little funny jokes about that. If you assume the wrong thing, you can end up in a bad spot. You don't want to be there. And finally, never, 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 say it with me, never, never, never leave out the most essential of all elements. Prayer. Allow God into your conflict and understand that He's there. Understand that conflict is not a battle. It's not a war ground. Us men, we're born to be warriors. Give me a sword and a shield. You know what I'm saying? Conflict's not about that for Christians. And here's the big one. Invite your person in conflict to pray to God with you. I've started praying with my wife every night, and I listen to her pray. I learn more about who she is and what's on her heart listening to her. She don't ever say half those things unless she's talking to God. Well, you can be in conflict with anybody. Ask them to pray with you about it. You learn a lot about a person when you hear their hearts before God. You know what? If I was in conflict with Vicki Dabney, she's just so attentive, so I'm going to use you as an example. Vicki, probably, she might feel a little bit uncomfortable praying in front of a man. If I just went to her in private, I want to tell you, church, I think we need to get over that. In the public worship assembly, that's one thing, as instructed by the Lord. But if I was having a problem with Vicki, I think we'd all sit down and pray about it. And I ought to hear her pray. Now, I might get jumped after service about that. But that's my feeling on it, scripturally. If you have something else on that, come see me afterwards. Okay, conflict is not something to be avoided. Conflict is an opportunity for growth. Right on schedule. Isaiah sets sets to mind a perfect picture of a peaceful land by saying this, Isaiah 2, verse 4, "And He will judge between the nations and will render decisions for many peoples. They will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn war." Conflict is not war. Conflict's an opportunity for growth on God's time schedule. Sometimes conflict exists for years. Here's the thing. Don't give up on it. Both parties stay attached to it.
Work as quick as you can. God expects that. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath and all that. God wants us to be expedient. But don't give up on the conflict. Hang in there. Stick in there. Let the other person know you care about them. Put God in the middle of things. And let me tell you what, conflict will vanish so fast it'll make your head spin. I hope this has helped you. If you have some conflict in your life, if you have something troubling you tonight, maybe you want the church to pray for you, maybe you're just having a struggle, we're open to help you in any way that we can. If you need any help in that way, would you come as we stand and sing?